Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, it's after church, and some people are going to lunch, and Jesus is invited to join them at the house of a Pharisee, and they're going to have a meal after lunch, kind of like a lot of people do after church. I know a lot of us go out to grab a bite to eat or maybe go over to somebody's house for a meal and share in life together. And that's what Jesus is doing. Nothing unusual, nothing strange. He's invited to the house of one of the ruling Pharisees because those are the people who are giving the banquets these days. And Jesus goes along with them. It is sort of a setup, though, on the part of the Pharisees, if you notice, because they're keeping a real close eye on Jesus. They want to see what he does and how he reacts and the things that go on and the interactions he has. They're keeping their eyes really close on Jesus. And as Jesus does, he's watching them at the very same time. So it's a bit of a setup. There's going to be some things that happen that Jesus will have to point out. The first is what happens along the way. They're on their way to lunch. So picture this, if you will. You, as you're on your way to lunch, are walking into either somebody's house or walking into a restaurant. So this is sort of on the way, that they're not quite there yet, but something is going to happen in between now and then. And what happens for Jesus is a man approaches him who has dropsy. It's an old word. And it has to do with a disease that causes all sorts of swelling and discomfort in joints. It's got a lot of modern names, but it's not arthritis, although that's similar to what's going on. But the man is really struggling. And Jesus takes the first question. So, teachers of the law, Pharisees who I'm gathering with, should I heal this guy? Should I help him or not? It's the Sabbath. We're not supposed to do any work, but should I help this guy or not? And that's exactly the sound that Jesus got, too. Crickets, right? No response. They don't have any response to him. They don't answer his question, should I help him or not? Well, yeah, help him, or no, we don't help on the Sabbath because it's too much, it's doing work, and we don't do that. So since they don't say anything, Jesus heals him. He does what Jesus does, heals the man and sends him on his way. And then he asks again, which of you, if one of your kids or one of your animals fell in a well on the Sabbath, which of you would pull them out? Or would you wait until the Sabbath was over to help? And that's exactly the sound that Jesus got. Nothing. No response. So Jesus is already at work with these Pharisees, helping them to question, maybe, or understand deeper what they would do if they were in a similar situation. Do you help? Do you help when somebody needs help, or do you wait until the time is right to help? It's an interesting question for us because we have opportunities all the time to help. And sometimes there are better times than others, times that are more convenient, times that fit into our schedule better than when the opportunity simply presents itself. So you don't have to answer. You can maintain the silence of the Pharisees if you want. But which of you, on your way to lunch today, if you saw someone in need, would help them? Or would you just keep going and realize, it's Sunday and I'm going to lunch with my family? It's a big question. It's a personal question. It's a moral or ethical question. It's a faith question. Which of you would help? See, we have all sorts of things that clutter our heads about how we're going to help or not. We have all sorts of rules that we've set up in our own heads, not necessarily rules that the society has set up or the people we're with have set up, but rules in our own heads about when we help and when we don't, right? We all do. We all have rules in our own heads that tell us when we're going to help and when we're not. But I'm thankful. I'm thankful that Jesus doesn't have rules about when to help and when to not. Because if he had rules about when to help and when to not, I don't know that he would help me. I couldn't be sure if he would help me or not. And I need help, believe me. We all do. But if Jesus had rules about when he would help and when he wouldn't, then I don't know that I'd be one of the ones that he'd help. I'd have no confidence in that. But thanks be to God that when he died on the cross, it was for the sins of the whole world, of all time, of all places, of all people, myself included. That he didn't wait until I figured it all out before he helped me. Or he didn't wait until the timing was right for each of us to fall into place. He helped. Because that's what Jesus does. He healed because that's what Jesus does, regardless of the rules. This isn't the only time that Jesus healed on the Sabbath, by the way. He did it other places as well and got the same reaction. Crickets. No one wanted to respond to Jesus when he helped someone on the Sabbath because they knew that that was the thing to do. So the grace is that Jesus helped me, even when I didn't deserve it. And he helped you, even when you don't deserve it. He continues on his way to lunch, by the way. He doesn't stop there. He keeps going, which is unusual because he's had this already confrontation with the hosts that he's going to lunch with. And you might think it might make lunch a little uncomfortable. You know, you've had those pre-lunch conversations that make lunch a little bit, this is going to be awkward. It's going to be strange. But Jesus goes to lunch anyway and maintains his vigilance. He maintains his watch on the Pharisees as they line up for lunch, as they jostle for position. Who gets to sit at the head of the table? Who gets to sit by the host? Who's the most important? Who deserves the place of honor? And they're pushing and shoving, figuratively speaking, to find, well, I don't know, maybe they were pushing and shoving. Maybe it was like one of those buffets where you're trying to get in to get the crab first before the other people do. You're trying to get in there and get that place of honor, that place of nobility. You want to be in one of those important people that sits at the head of the table. I picture a wedding reception where the seating arrangement is as important as anything else, right? Who gets to sit closest to the head table? How many of you have had to plan a wedding where you had to figure out who gets to sit closest to the head table? You don't have to raise your hands. I know. It happens. Seating arrangements for weddings are so important. But are they really? For the people that Jesus is eating lunch with, it's super important to have the place of honor. It's honorable to have the place of honor. And so they're trying to figure out how to get it, how to sit at the highest place. And Jesus takes the opportunity once again, as he's watching all of this happen, to remind them of Proverbs 25 that we read as the Old Testament reading today. So Jesus looks and he says, "When you are invited by someone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in a place of honor lest someone more distinguished than you be invited by him, and he who invited you both will come and say to you, 'Give your place to this person,' and then you will begin with shame to take the lowest place." Jesus is reminding them that you don't want to be embarrassed in front of your friends. You don't want to be embarrassed in front of those important people, because, you know, reputation is everything. Because that's what Jesus is really worried about, right? Your reputation. I don't think that's the most important thing on Jesus' agenda. Honor and humility. For Jesus, they go hand in hand. For the Pharisees, they don't. There's no honor in humility, according to the Pharisees. There's honor in sitting in the most important place, but not in being humble. Jesus is reminding them something that they ought to already know. Don't assume you are more important than anyone else. Don't assume that when you walk into the room, you are the most important person there. Because chances are, you're not. So to avoid the social faux pas of being told to go sit somewhere else, you sit somewhere else first, so then you can be invited up to the highest place. Again, I don't think Jesus is so worried about the social aspects as he is about the faith aspects of honor and humility. He's reminding them of their place in the kingdom. He says, "For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." Taking the place of humility, taking the form of a servant, taking the form of the crucified Jesus. What worse humiliation is there than what Jesus endured on the cross? An innocent man put to death in the most horrific way, on display for everybody to see what a horrible person he is. What a mess. Jesus takes the most humble place. Not for his own exaltation, not for his own glory, but for you, for me. Jesus takes his place as a humble criminal on the cross, so that you and I, the sinners who deserve to be there, could be lifted up in glory on that day when he returns. See, for Jesus, yes, life here is important, and we need to be aware of all of the intricacies of social interactions, but for Jesus, that's not the important thing. The important thing is who's going to be with him for eternity. We call it the wedding feast that has no end. The feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. We've called it a couple of things. That ongoing celebration of the presence of Christ. So that's what Jesus is talking about here. He's reminding the Pharisees, you who think you're first ought to picture yourself last. Put yourself in the lowest place. Put yourself in the place of those in prison, as Hebrews reminds us, as those who are tortured in body and soul. Put yourself in their place, in their shoes, for those who are in need, for those who struggle. Humility and honor. For Jesus, they're the same thing. See, the humble will be exalted. Those who are lowest will be brought high. That's the way Jesus works. It's very much the opposite of the way the world works. It's very much the opposite of the way even we sometimes work. Jesus is today inviting us to his table. You don't have to wait till after church to go out to lunch. It happens here, today. And the highest, the one who is lifted up on the cross, is the most humble, who gives himself to you and to me at the table today. And it's here, when we kneel to receive in a gesture of humility, to receive the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Prince of Peace, all of those names that we know Jesus to be, he gives himself to us for our forgiveness, for the strengthening of our faith, for the eyes to see the opportunities around us, for the hearts to love and forgive. So join Jesus at lunch today, here. You don't have to wait till after. Come receive the gifts that he has for you, for me, in his humility. It is the greatest honor. Amen. And now may the peace that passes all understanding guard our hearts and our minds in faith until Christ comes again. Amen. Our hymn of response.